This is Meredith Sisko for These Ozark Hills. Somewhere back in the past, before there were memes, there was a widespread notion regarding the weather and the seasons, asserting if March comes in like a lion, it will go out like a lamb, and vice versa. So what are we to do with a March that comes in insipid? Neither one nor the other. Just another day. Well, there was Super Tuesday, of course, but here in our hills, where it wasn't our election day, we could only look out on the landscape still barren of trees, the sky that couldn't decide whether or not to be cloudy, and decide that the March winds had come early and this was just another one of those. Well, I couldn't find anything resembling either lion or lamb in such a day, and so I had to look elsewhere for a sign of the seasons. I found it in a sheltered spot just outside the front door. The lowly jonquils, whose buds are fat and ready to pop. The surprise lilies, putting up tentative fingers and inching up with each warm afternoon. The redbud trees, not yet in bloom, but practically bursting with intention. All this input didn't arrive with a roar, nor was it sheepish. It was, if anything, a reassurance that the wheel of the seasons is always right on time, whether or not we are paying attention. And that on levels from the cosmic to atomic, whether one is of a spiritual bent or not, the universe behaves as if there is a steady hand at the helm. So what are we to make of this section of the calendar where soon the day and the night will be equal in length as the natural world slides from winter into spring? As both an artist and a gardener, March has always affected me as though the word was a verb and not a title. Marching orders telling me to get busy, that time's a-wastin', and if you're not careful, you'll get behind, a condition that's likely to last all year. I suspect that at that point I hear centuries of Ozark's grandmothers like mine, bustling around the kitchen, wielding her dish towel like a whip, while snapping orders, all the while measuring by hand, the palm of her hand, ingredients for pancakes or biscuits. To those of us too young to remember those times, or who have become accustomed to modern conveniences and a more leisurely pace, it sounds quite onerous. But it wasn't, not in the least, for in those times we were more attuned to the wheel and accepted our part in its turning. After breakfast there would be seeds to sort, weeds to be routed, early peas to be planted, seed potatoes to be cut up and spread out in a sunny room. Outdoors, the search would be on for very early spring greens to put extra nutrition in the diet, which my Uncle Gus would tell you is vitally important after a cornbread winter. Of course, if you live in the country, these practices are common worldwide. And not just in the Ozarks, in places where spring comes noticeably earlier or later. In fact, I recently returned from a trip south where some weeks ago a friend of mine was already potting up large and lush tomato and pepper plants to take to another gardener, for she had too many and they were too big. And then one of my fondest memories of another set of seasons, spent long ago in the far north in Vermont, along the Connecticut River, is of a visit to a family whose son had offered to repair my car. The family was large and unique, with 8 to 12 kids and all of them very busy. I arrived on a frosty April morning to find a cow housed in a small derelict building out back, a calf penned in the garage, a quartet of boys in the backyard claiming to be excavating a swimming pool with spades and shovels, a sunroom full of seed flats, another jumble of young women assembling small kits of cosmetic samples in a little home business, and a large portion of goat stewing on the stove. While I was standing bemused at this level of industry, the mother stuffed my mouth with a chunk of goat meat and guided me by the elbow out to see her garden spot. On the way there, while passing a heavy board fence, something dealt the fence a solid blow while emitting a horrendous squeal. It was a huge hog of indeterminate parentage. I jumped about a foot, but the mother simply pressed on, calling out in a strident voice, "Don't you threaten me, you expletive, expletive. Tomorrow I'm going to cut your throat and hang you in a tree." Well, I'm sure such things happen all over, but the main memory I took from that visit was that without a doubt, those children and that mother were totally aligned with the marvelous wheel of life, and they would wrest from it all the sustenance necessary by whatever means were at hand. I was very impressed with their quest for a rich life, but I did worry a little about the calf. I'm from a gentler land than that, a land where my parents every year raised a calf to put beef in the freezer, but at harvest time every year, they would send that calf to market and buy one they didn't know to put in the freezer. This is Meredith Sisko with a long-winded observation on the seasons in these Ozark Hills, as well as the country we call off. Thanks for listening.
And you can keep up with Meredith Sisko on her website, meredithsisko.com, where you can find her stories, music, and pictures. You can also find her essays on these Ozark Hills archived at ksmu.org.